Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I'll start with this one. Yeah, so Valerie's sister and a friend of mine went on mission in Africa together. And there was this concert happening in Glasgow called City Praise. And Steph McLeod, some of you might have heard of Steph McLeod, he's quite a famous singer, he was singing at it. And I was sitting in one balcony, and opposite me was Valerie and her sister, and I never knew Valerie. But unbeknownst to me, behind me was Valerie's mum. I had no clue that Valerie's mum was sitting behind me. And I could see this girl at the opposite balcony kind of looking over. And I thought she was looking at me.
Of course.
So, and she kind of waved a wee bit. I was like, well, she's waving at me kind of thing. And I said to a pal who was in Africa, like, who's that that's sitting next to your pal, Joanna? She was like, oh, that's her sister, Valerie. I knew you'd like her. We never really spoke that night. I think at the end of the night, I think you clocked on that, well, that guy thinks that I'm looking at him, and I'm really not looking at him. I'm looking at my mum. So at the end of the night, I said, oh, bye, and you were like, bye. that was that.
I was mortified, I've got to admit, because I was waving. To be fair, I don't know why I chose to wave across the Royal Concert Hall, but I did to my mum and other side because we got separated with the rest of the church. And I waved across, and Colm was behind, and I was just like, as soon as he looked at me, I was like to my sister, oh, I think Jill's boyfriend thinks I'm looking at him, and she was like, oh, that's not, I'll text her and find out. So I wasn't really looking for a boyfriend at the time, and I wasn't really doing too well on the church side of things, so I only went along that night because my sister had emotionally blackmailed me into it, really. And thank God that I did go. Or I probably wouldn't have met Colin because we didn't have anyone that really connected us at the time.
No. So that's how we first saw each other. Then the story develops a bit, and Valerie then added me on Facebook. Oh, now, to my mind, if you add somebody on Facebook, you're trying to pursue a conversation with them. So I always say that Valerie made the first move properly in that situation.
Valerie, you tell us if that's true or not.
So,
factually, yes.
What happened was, Colin is Mr. Shy Guy, or was Mr. Shy Guy when he was 21. And that's what age we met at, 21. And he had said, supposedly, to Jill, who went on mission with my sister Joanna, tell Val if she could add Colin, he's just too shy and things like that, and he doesn't want to make the first move. Did you do? And I thought, well, if he doesn't want to make the first move, then stuff that then. But it ended up, I added you, and then we got talking, and then it just went from there, and then we went on our first date. It was so classy. We went to Cote Bridge to the Frankie and Benny's, and then we went to the Showcase to see a film called Life as You Know It. And then that was it, really, from there. But some people would say, as cliche as it is, we did, when we were sitting across from each other, it was like sitting with your best pal, and we felt like we knew each other for years, which is really strange when it's a blind date, basically, and all you're going by is that first glance at an event, and then you're just obviously looking at each other's Facebook photos, as weird as that sounds, and then all of a sudden you're sitting across from somebody on a date. But we both kind of knew from that moment, this is maybe going to be my person. Yeah.
So how did it go then from that awkward blind date, if you like, to something more serious where you properly realised that this could be something special?
I think that on the first date, to be honest, Stephen, I never really hung about. Colin's going to tell you anyway, so I might as well tell you. I never really hung about in the car. I was quite at the point where I dated guys and I was looking for my husbands and looking for somebody quite serious. And I kind of got in the car and we didn't know each other and we were just talking and asking kind of what we wanted out of life and what we would...
It was quite clear for the first date, genuinely. But there was no, like, small talk, like, how are you? No, there was none of that.
And it wasn't a business exchange either. No. But we just had these conversations, like, you want to know, like, how committed are you to church? Because you've got, obviously, young people coming up in the church who say they're Christian, but have they got that personal walk in faith with Jesus? And are they looking for a spouse to be yoked with them and to walk through everything in life with them? And from a young age, that was just something, probably from a girl family, that we were very much conditioned to and wanted. So I just basically asked you the questions.
I gave the answers.
You gave the right answers. And it really just went from there. And because we were both in church, our families came from the church background. We were both grown up. We both had summer holidays. We came from families of three.
Yeah.
We had good parents, a nice upbringing, and we just had loads in common, really, to be honest with you. And I fancied you.
and you said, Valerie, at that point, you weren't in a good place with church. So did meeting Colin help you get back into a good place, or how did that help you within your faith?
Yeah, so obviously we were young. I'd not long turned 21, and I'd ended up going out with this guy, and he embarrassed me, cheated on me. Oh! And I just felt a bit, a bit embarrassed, because people in the church knew about it, where I was from. And then, obviously, that's why I was a bit annoyed at God and just wanted to go out, go to the dancing with my friends and do what I wanted. And kind of, God would come later on in life when I was ready for God and had a wee bit of fun. And it never really got that way, because the breaks were put on hold, because then I met Colin, and I think you were in a similar position as well. And even though we were going about sometimes with non-Christian friends, our Christian friends knew what our values were and still knew that we were Christians. But we could have gone down a very different slope, do you know what I mean, if we hadn't met each other, because I didn't really enjoy going out. I love a dance, but I'll dance without alcohol or whatever else anyway. But obviously when you're at that age and stage, it's very easy to go with the crowds and follow the crowds and want to fit in and things like that. And I think that both of us were kind of still hanging about with some of our school friends and stuff that were very much doing that, and that was a life that they had chosen to do. And had we not met each other and become best friends and boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, then I don't think that we would have maybe have not gone down that route a bit more.
Yeah. No, I agree. Would that be fair? I think probably maybe even the type of churches that we were used to maybe changed it a wee bit, because you've been brought up in a Baptist church, and was that kind of similar church experience that you had been brought up? I've been brought up in a Pentecostal church, much like our church here, and it was quite a different experience, really. So we saw different sides of what church can be for people. Not that there's one right way or wrong way, but it did help us kind of experience different sides of our interpretations of styles of church, if you will. So, no, it definitely did.
I think that it probably encouraged each other to go to church more, and you looked forward to it that bit more. Yeah. I think that sometimes, no matter what age you are, I think it's hard to walk into a building yourself with people there.
Absolutely.
Right. So I have a lot of respect for people who are going through, for whatever reason, a journey at the moment, maybe in their faith, where their spouse isn't there at the moment, or they've fallen away, or something's happened, who are taking that stand for that family and still doing that. And obviously, for a young age, us being able to walk in together, to know that you've got your person with you, to know that that kind of is your person, because we weren't really for just dating for the sake of dating.
No.
It was really for the goal of, if this is somebody I'm really interested in, I can see becoming my husband. I don't really want to go and see what the world has to offer, because I'm quite happy. I found what I'm looking for.
So when was that moment that you realised that actually this was the person that I wanted to marry?
On you go.
I knew quite early. I was really interested in Valerie quite early on. I think I made that quite obvious to Valerie that I was really interested in her early on. We shared a similar sense of humour. I think I made you laugh.
I think our sense of humour is definitely a thing. Apart from, you've got to have an attraction, obviously. So we obviously liked what we saw in each other. We got on really well. We had similar interests in music and things like that. And when you introduced your boyfriend, whatever, to your friendship groups and your family, and my family very much mattered. I had two older sisters and very much cared about what they thought, very much cared about what my parents thought and my grandparents. So I would never probably have taken somebody home on a serious basis if I wasn't introducing them to be potential husbands. So I think that I fell in love with Colin very quickly. And
so easy, you know.
But, I did, as much as it sounds and embarrassing as that is to say to people in the congregation, I did fall in love with Colin fairly quickly because he was just like a best friend and somebody I could go to about anything and still can. And as much as life's really difficult at times, I would just say it was quite easy to fall in love with you.
Everyone's sorry. Same for you. It was easy to fall in love with you.
So tell us, Colin, about the proposal.
So
how did that go?
The proposal. I was quite nervous about the proposal, as many people are. And I don't know why, really, if I'm being honest with you, because I think I always knew what the answer was going to be. So I did the whole thing of asking our mum and dad. Valerie's mum and dad, our mum in particular, has got a brilliant sense of humour. Like the first time I met her, she shut the door in my face and says, "No, we're not looking for you tonight." That kind of thing. She's very kind of good sense of humour. So I had contacted them and said, "Oh, I'd like to meet up to talk to you about something." And they knew exactly where it was going to be. So I had just asked her dad if I could meet up with him. And so in Valerie's parents' house, there's a back living room that is purely her dad's domain. Nobody else goes into that except him. So I went in the back living room and shut the door. But Valerie's mum quickly thereafter just she opened the door and she's straight in there as well to have her say. So I asked the question and they were like, "Yes, absolutely no problem." But like I said, I was feeling quite nervous about it. So Valerie, this was not I don't think it was a surprise for you at all what was happening, really. The game was kind of given away a wee bit because I says, "Oh, well, we'll need to go into Buchanan."
Colin can't hold his water.
I'm not very good at things like that. But I felt it was best to kind of lay the groundwork and make sure I wasn't going to get a no. So, as Valerie said, we met at the Royal Concert Hall. That was the first time we saw each other. And I thought, well, that'd be a nice idea to go there at least and propose there. So there's a kind of tie-up to when I first met you, kind of things like that. But the weather was raining. And we didn't buy tickets to go and see if it was actually playing in the concert hall. So we were standing outside at the steps just at the top of Buchanan Street, if you will. And it was raining really heavily and the wind was blowing a gale and Valerie's going, "Why have we even got in here?"
It's hilarious looking back. See, at the time I was like, Colin, I just finished my work. I worked in the bank at the time. I was full time working and Colin was a student. So it was very different lives. And he was like, "Right, we'll go into Glasgow and we'll go for something to eat." And it was a day worse than today. And I was like, Colin, can we not just go to the fort or just go somewhere in Kirky where I'm from or do something like that? And he's like, "No, we're going into Glasgow." And I was like, "All right, okay." So we're on the motorway and I remember saying to him, "This is awful. Like, I don't want to go out and get absolutely drenched, Colin. Like, Mum will just go back home, go and get a takeaway or something." And he's like, "No, we're going out to Glasgow." So I was like, I knew from there. I just knew he was going to propose.
It was Christmas Eve, I should say. Christmas Eve. So again, some people have a funny view on that because they think it's not really that romantic because you would normally get a Christmas present, whereas if you buy an engagement ring, you don't need to buy a Christmas present.
And he didn't.
So I proposed at the top of the stairs, Buchanan Street, and there was actually a crowd of people standing kind of looking at us, and we're like, "Oh, don't really like this." So literally as soon as we proposed, we kind of ran down Buchanan Street and went to TGI's. and had something to eat in TGI's, and I think for maybe 2 or 3 hours we never told anybody. So we were the only two people in the world that knew at that point that we were engaged.
Apart from your mum and dad and my mum and dad.
Well, they knew that it was going to happen, didn't they know it actually happened? And I think after a couple of hours, we said, we better let them know because they know what the plan is for tonight kind of thing.
The funny thing was, I said to Colin, because we had had a chat, obviously, about marriage and do-do-do-do-do, and a lot of our friends were really close friends at the time. We were all in the same boat. We were all wanting to get married. That was the goal. We'd all been together for a good couple of years and things like that, and we all know that we were all at that point in our life, that's what we wanted. And when Colin proposed, I said to him, see, if you ever propose to me, I know it's not my thing and I shouldn't have a say in it or whatever, but I said, please don't do it in front of people, please just don't do it in front of people, just really remote, really quiet, like just you and I. And he did it there, and I was mortified. And I remember, bless you, you got down on one knee in that rain. And I can't even tell you what he said to me apart from, will you marry me? Because he gave a wee bit of spiel before it.
Yeah.
And then all I could think of was, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. So I kept saying to him, yes, 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 you come up, get up, get up. So I literally just took his hand and basically went flying down the street to TGI's. And then in there, you were a wee bit, I was a bit more like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Do you know what I mean? Because I just couldn't deal with the fact that all these strangers were looking at us, and oh, that was a laugh. That was a laugh.
So moving forward a little bit in your story, and then you get married, and then once you get married, there's always adjustments that you have to make because you're moving from your parents' house and you're suddenly living together and all that kind of stuff. So tell us about some of the biggest adjustments you had to make when you first got married.
So some people know this about me, but I get hangry quite easy. So hangry is when you're hungry and you get angry. Alison's looking at me as if like, no, you don't, but I do. So if you've not had something to eat for a while, I like a regular eating time. Like, this is what we're doing. It's all kind of planned through.
He likes his dinner made for
him. I like
my
dinner. I didn't enjoy my dinner. It's ruined a wee bit. Whereas Valerie at the time, she had a nephew that was quite young. So she would finish her 9 to 5 in the bank, and then she'd say, I'm just going to go to my sister's, or I'll go and see my nephew for a beer or two. Meanwhile, I'm back at the house thinking, right, I better wait, because Valerie will come back and we'll have dinner together. This would get to 8 o'clock at night, and I would be starving at this point, like desperate for something. But no, starving enough that I would cook stuff myself, by the way. So that was a bit of adjustment.
That was still my job.
I've still, well, I would say I would cook for myself now at that point. But I would probably phone you and say, you want this or not. But that was a bit of an adjustment for me. I'd say that. But very basic thing.
I would say there's quite a few adjustments. Like, so I was probably, I would say, house proud.
Cleaner.
And Colin would leave a lot of things at his backside, let men do, sorry men. And I just went about usually picking it all up, and I just used to grain on me, and it would be my job. You were very much old-fashioned. It would be my job to do all the hoovering.
No, I would say now, that is not the case now, I would say. I think
no,
in particular,
but that was at the time.
At the time, aye.
So that was an adjustment. Also, the biggest adjustment, and it's still an adjustment, is Colin snoring.
Aye,
Colin's snoring is a talking subject with anyone that's been on holiday with us, and anyone that's stayed at the house. It is horrendous. And I am such a light sleeper, and it's just, yeah. And I was so desperate. Do you know, the funny thing is, at the age of 37, I'm scared of the dark. I always have been. I know it's ridiculous, but I am. And I thought to myself, do you know, I used to remember thinking as a young girl, I can't wait until I get married and I get to sleep with my husband every night and not be in my bedroom myself and all this. And then, obviously, we get married and Colin snores and I was like, this is a nightmare. This is awful. So I would go away through, because at the time we lived in Airdrie, and I would go away through into the back bedroom. Or rather, sometimes I would, to be nice, and then sometimes I'd be like, right, Colin, up you get, away you go next door because I can't sleep. So, yes, that's still a tension that we have.
But then what did you find were the best bits about being married? Things that maybe surprised you?
I don't know if it surprised us, but see when you share a kind of sense of humour with somebody and you've got shared values, I'd say that's the best thing. Like, we have a right good laugh with each other. And not, like, folk know this about us, like, we will not shy away from having an argument. Mm-hmm. We know this couple that will just say, oh, put a pin in it, we'll come back to it later. That's not our
Colin,
style.
We know, you were in our life group and we witnessed it firsthand.
That is not our style. Like, we're kind of head on, let's get this dealt with type thing. That's probably true of most of the aspects in our life, actually, just head on, let's get this dealt with type thing. But I'd say that having that shared kind of mindset, that shared kind of sense of humour, to enjoy funny times and to find the similar kind of things funny. Mm-hmm. I find it quite odd when you've got a couple who one person finds it hilarious and the other person's sitting there like, that's an odd pairing, but works for us.
We will say random things and you'll think to yourself, like, that's not like in anyone else's wavelength. So I would say, obviously, for most young girls or women, we always like dream about meeting that man and getting married and having the wedding and the dress and the family. And I think that was just what we were ready for at that time. And God brought Colin at the right time. And some of my friends, non-Christian friends, have said to me, like, well, it's been easy for you. You met somebody when you were in, like, your early 20s and do-do-do-do-do-do. And I do think to myself, yeah, no, do you know what? I absolutely do get that. But I'm also grateful that that was the life and the path that God had planned and I chose to take, because it could have gone the other way. That we didn't have to go down some of the routes, and we did go through our 20s together, and there's couples sitting here, obviously, I know that I've done that as well. And you do thank God that you had that person for that season, how much you've changed through it. But moving in together, I loved it. I loved choosing all the furniture, having our own wee house, not being mum and dad's every weekend, and it was still their rules and everything else, and going back and forward to Falthouse, to Kirkie, and would you come through to mine this weekend, or you come through to mine this weekend, and then trying to, like, go out and about, have time away from, obviously, people and whatever in the house.
Building a life together.
So it was great, and I did like that. I liked the wee family side of things. We were just us, and it was great.
So what would you say would be the biggest thing that helped build that strong foundation for you both as a couple?
I genuinely do think it's our faith. Mm-hmm. Genuinely think, because that has been the foundation of our marriage. I don't even know if there's much more that you need to say than that, frankly, is that, because that was the thing that drew us together to each other. That was the kind of fundamental thing that, oh, actually, because we had a similar foundation in our relationship with Jesus, that's what we built on. That's the kind of basis of, right, actually, good, let's move on. What else are we kind of liking about each other? What else do we like about our life? How do we want to build our life together on this foundation? So I would say that's definitely been it.
And it was important as well, because I knew, because I'd been told by my mum at an early age that my mum had prayed for that since we were born, like you do with your children if you're Christian, and grandparents are also on board with that, who are such important people, and they've prayed that over you, and then it's happened, and I definitely agree, it's our faith that have set the foundations. If Colin wasn't a Christian, would I have entertained maybe going on dates? Maybe not.
So, you know, life goes on. You've gone on, you've had two gorgeous wee boys, and life happens, and we know that life isn't always a bed of roses. Can you tell us just a bit about how you navigate the ups and downs of life as a couple?
Well, and this is true of everybody in this room, life is ups and downs. Mm-hmm. There's no point pretending, oh, everything's rosy all the time. Like, we're always in the high. I think as a real life family, you do experience the downs as well as the ups, and actually the downs and how you react in that down to kind of moment and the things that you put in place to maybe get you out of that are more important than the ups, actually. Mm-hmm. Got to enjoy the ups, but how you react in the kind of downtrodden times where you're struggling is far more important. I think when we've had, we genuinely are blessed that we have not had any massive significant challenges in our marriage per se. We've definitely not had that. But we have had challenging times, and I would say in those times, it comes back to your shared beliefs and what it is that you're actually, what is it you're trying to do in a marriage? Mm-hmm. You're trying to help each other and the family you're raising get closer to God. And maybe there's people have different ways in how they get there. Mm-hmm. And you need to navigate that together, I think. And sometimes you get it wrong. We've got it wrong sometimes with things that we've tried to do with the kids, and like, well, that's not working actually, let's try something else.
So is there one specific thing that's really stretched you as a couple that you could share and then share how God helped you come through that specific challenge?
I think there's several things that have, well, the first time I remember where we had had a bit of a taste in relationship, and I don't think we were married at that point, we were maybe engaged, was the first low, because obviously when you are going together, it's still, you're still in your honeymoon period and everything's great and you don't have the financial commitments sometimes and you've got your own time and things like that. But when I went through quite a hard time in the bank where I took a promotion and I had to step back from it because we had two losses in the family, an uncle died and my papa died, and I was really close to my papa and my uncle. And I didn't. That was probably the first loss that I'd had since I was a young girl, and I didn't deal very well with it. And I never really let anyone kind of know what was really happening because it was affecting our family, and we were all gutted. Even though we had the hope, it's such a sad, sad thing. And that happened, and I remember being in Colin's room, and it was just the two of us. And I hadn't really been able to grieve or show any emotion, and I didn't know why I couldn't do that, even though I was devastated. And I remember I just sobbed and calling. And I've not sobbed like that, I don't think, since. And that's when I kind of thought, well, he can deal with me, like, going through a really hard thing like that. And not a lot of men can support. Sometimes it's not because of choice, they just don't know what to do when they see their wife or girlfriend or whatever, or daughter even, so broken and sobbing. And if Colin just held me, I didn't really have to say anything, and that was all I wanted at the time. I didn't want a big spiel about anyone that's going through it or whatever else. Sometimes when you're going through such a deep feeling, you just want somebody just to be there, and they don't have to say anything. So that was one of the lows that I went through, that I thought, right, okay, that's somebody who can carry me through and be there for me when I don't let a lot of people be there for me. Sometimes I'll be the person that's there for them. Mm-hmm. And kids, obviously, is a massive stretch. Our wee boys are great fun, and we love them to bits. They've got great wee personalities and everything else, but they're very trying. And we're going through a season, and I would actually say, and if we're being really, really honest, so church, do pray for us. Colin did say to me the other night when we were talking about coming here that this is probably the most difficult year we've had together, because family are great and they're a blessing, but also children, when they're going through all these different emotions and things are changing fast and they're growing up, that can be a really, really testing time.
And we've never done it before. You know, this is like the first time round, so we're learning all this on the go. So I think that just now is a challenging season.
So that's a bit of a stretch, Stephen, like what you were asking just now. And then just having time for us as well. And I think a lot of people our age find that too. You've got your jobs, and then you're trying to obviously have family time, and then you're trying to do homework, and then you're trying to fit friends in. And
so in regards to your challenges just being a family, which is it's just normal, but how would you say your faith helps you in that? And how would you say being part of a church family helps in that?
That helps me personally loads. My faith is really centred at who I am, and I'm not perfect and far from it. And I'm very, very open about that. If you know me, you'll know that. And God knows everything. So God sees you at your worst and still loves you unconditionally through that, and you don't get that from humans. So for me, it does go back to the hymn of Take It to the Lord in Prayer. And when I hear that song, it just resonates, and it just, now you listen to some songs and it just hits you and you just could cry and you're thinking, gosh, why am I crying and getting emotional about this? But it just, music is such a movement, and I think that that's why heaven's full of it. And the faith side of it with God, for me, sometimes when you're in the middle of a catastrophe, you don't want to go to your husband or your wife because they might be the problem. So you sometimes you don't want to take it out with the marriage. So who's in the marriage with you? God. So you go to God because God loves you both and God knows the way, and you need to go to him in order to get the direction when you don't know.
I'd echo that. I mean, I think I said similar earlier, but it's what you're trying to achieve. What is, our kind of wish for our boys is that they grow up, we bring them up as best as we can, but they're God's. They're not ours, actually. We can just guide them as best as we can, but God guiding us. But the biggest kind of hope that we've got for our life really here is that we live a life in such a way that encourages our kids to live a life for God. And that reflects the decisions that we take. Now, we don't always get, like I said, we don't always get it right. But I think it's important to acknowledge that you don't always get it right. And when you don't get it right, try and do something to change it.
And obviously your church family is important. We've got friends here who we deeply love, and people who we deeply care about here. And the fact that we live in Kirkintilloch, it's not down the road for us. It's not 2 seconds away.
No, we've been recently taking Charlotte to rehearsals in Kirkintilloch.
Oh, have you?
And I was saying to Stephen, I was like, man, Colin and Valerie are committed. This is not just down the road. So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So, from that element, I mean, if I'm very much a relationship person, and I don't see the point. Church is for worship and connection with God.
Fellowship, yep.
But it's about fellowship. And my grandparent told me that very early on. If you're sitting there in a pew on a Sunday and you're wishing that you were somewhere else, it's maybe not the right fit for you. When we first got married, we went to different churches. I was a Baptist, Colin was a Pente. I had no idea what the Pentecostal side was like, because I hadn't experienced it or gone with a guy from that background. Most of them were Church of Scotland, so it was very different. But it was to do with the fact of, we had two lovely pastors who invited us over, and so many people that were so good in that journey. Right. And I remember one of them, who was called Barbara Ramage, in the King's Church over in Motherwell, and she said to me at the time, I was under such pressure on myself to find this church. And she said to me, do you know what the thing is, Val? You've just got to find somewhere at that moment that feels like home. And it might not be home forever, but it's home for that moment or that season, because God doesn't know. You can't go there and be like, this is us forever, because that's not how God works. God wants you to go, you go, and if you don't go, he'll tell you to go again, and you'll go the second time probably. But it was to do with what feels like home, and just now found for the last 9 years or whatever has felt like home.
So, you know, you spoke about life is busy. So how do you make sure that you are intentional about finding time for one another?
When we're at home, we actually spend a lot of time together when we're at home. Like, we do the most mundane things together. Like, we'll watch telly together. She'll watch a programme she doesn't really like because I like watching it. I watch a programme I don't really like.
Listening?
No, I think that happens in our house too, but you then fall asleep during the programme. But anyway, that's another MySpace.
Colin's definitely the remote control ninja, and I tolerate Murder, She Wrote. Every night, I sit in that room with him and watch that programme. I can't.
Is it the original?
Angela Lansbury.
Pure nostalgic. That's the reason for it.
My granny watched it, and my nana.
Exciting.
And anyway, Colin likes it, and I know that he loves it. And because I love him, I do sit in the room just to spend time with him. But however, when I went through, I'm embarrassed to say, when I went through the wee stage of watching Love Island, Colin would never tolerate that.
No.
He would never sit in the room with me if I was watching a lovey-dovey film. He'd be like, oh, come away. But we probably make time because we do everything.
I don't know if it's intentional.
Yeah.
I don't know that we intentionally need to set out time. I think it's because we enjoy each other's company and we just naturally fall into that. Aye.
And I make Colin help with the clothes if I decide to pull everything out and have a clear out, and then I'm overwhelmed and think, gosh, what have I done? What am I going to do? I'll be like, Colin. So I pull Colin into all the things that, what do you call it, I need his help with.
The amount of things I've needed to posted for Vinted's unbelievable.
I don't get sent with that, Colin. So how do you then keep God right at this? Because obviously your faith is really important to you. So how do you, and amongst all the busyness of life and your kids and your jobs and all that stuff, how do you keep God right at the centre of your marriage?
Communication.
I think so. I think that, and always the mindset. I mean, we were really intentional about when we get married as to who was marrying us. There's a guy who had been really important all the way through my life, and he was very clear about when you're getting married, it's actually a union between you and God. And I think if you have that in your mindset, you can always really back in that. When we made the decision to get married, it wasn't just about each other, it was about us and God. But communication with each other, but actually communication with God independently as well. Because there is times in marriage where you think to yourself, they're annoying me, or this kind of situation. And then you do kind of need to say, thank God, just take a wee kind of space here. We're in this together. Help me guide the way through. I think that there's many different ways that you can do it. But like I said earlier, we are very happy to communicate with each other, even when it's not a nice thing.
Are we though?
So I think being honest and upfront about situations, having that mindset that this is between the pair of you and God. What is it that says the Bible about a three-stranded cord is not easily broken? I find that so true in life. It's certainly been true in our marriage.
I would say that communication's a big thing, and I would say that, maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm definitely probably more of the one that would be like, right, we need to talk about this, or we need to really think about this, or if there was something happening in church or whatever and there was a discussion to be had, or one of us was struggling or so on the other, that something...
You more naturally fill it into the kind of instigator, like, we need to deal with this kind of situation. You probably raise
I think most wives and mums are, sometimes. I do. I think that the wives have the softness sometimes, and the husband's got to feel that he can go to his wife, because it's hard to just be... We were raised in a kind of society back then of boys don't cry, big boys don't cry, and sometimes you need your spouse to be that person who you can be your absolute self with.
I would agree that you're definitely the instigator, because there's been times in life group where you would disagree with each other over a certain point, and you would make sure that you and Colin had sorted that before anybody else could move forward in that discussion. It was like, no, Colin, we're fixing this before we do anything. So has that always been the case through your whole marriage, that you would always say, no, we need to fix this?
Yes.
Before, you would never rest upon it, leave it?
I
would say that my mum gave me advice in my wedding, see, and that was, which we're still working on, to not let the sun go down in an argument. And we've got that in video, which is a lovely thing to have. And she said it to all three of us, our daughters. And that's a hard thing to do, and not every couple's got that. And it is a hard thing with communication, and that's the thing. I believe, as a person, through my faith with God, God knows what's wrong with me. And God can see what's wrong with Colin or whatever in our family network. So God already knows that. And I go to God about it and be very real with God about it. And I'll do that the same with Colin. And I'll do that the same with my kids. I'll do that the same with family and friends. I would say that there's ways to go about it. And there's times that are appropriate and things like that. And I think that's the main thing my mum and dad said, was to always sort things out, because you can sweep things under a carpet too much before you trip over it. Mm-hmm.
I think that's very wise advice. And if you were speaking to a young couple or a couple now who are preparing to get married, what key bits of advice would you give them, knowing what you know now?
I think you need to make sure your foundations are right. If your foundations are right, you can kind of build from there. Mm-hmm. If you've not got the right foundation, you've got a problem, genuinely. Everything else you can kind of work through together if you're prepared to put the effort in. But if that foundation is not, if you've not got the same shared values, if you're not driving towards the same thing, if you don't have the same belief system, if you don't have the same ambitions for your life, which I would consider probably most of the foundational elements, faith as well, obviously, is the main one for us, at least, then that's quite difficult.
Mm-hmm. I think it's where you place your identity for young people. In a world that's so focused on self-image, so focused on technology, keeping up with the Joneses, having the holidays, having the house, and all the ways of the world that it seeps in to young people, it's where you get your identity from. Is it in God first? Do you get your value from God first or from your spouse first? And I would say if it's from your spouse, you're maybe not ready yet for a godly marriage. So for us to be secure in your own faith and your own relationship with God, and if you're really, really at that point and you're living in the dark, a different life to what you're bringing into church or what other people are seeing, then I think that couples, young couples, have to address that, because God sees, don't do something in the dark that you don't want shown in the light, because Jesus is the light and he will bring it to the platform and into the marriage with you. So I would say if there's anything, you would deal with that as a person, because there is people who we know that are very close to home who have gone into marriages and carried things, yeah, and haven't shared it before they get married. And that's very, very hard to then share that and then know that that wasn't shared before you got married. And that's where I'm saying about placing your identity. What do you place your identity in? Because all of us are guilty and placing it in different things that aren't God-centred at one point in our life. So if there was somebody sitting and they were so in love and ready to get married, then it's about the heart and what comes from. If you're something in your heart's not there, it will come out your mouth eventually.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's what I would say. I would say it's a lovely thing, but if you're not equally yoked at that time, then you've got to really go for counselling or the marriage things that are set there. And we never had that, because we weren't in a church together or anything, and never really, it wasn't really a thing for us within our churches at the time.
With
the marriage course things, well, marriage that we courses, do here.
There were some, but we I don't think that.
But I think that's a great thing.
Aye,
I do. I think that's a great thing. But yeah, I'm going off on a tangent. Sorry, I'm starting to go off here in another tangent.
No, that's all right. I love when we do the marriage course with people before they get married, because we always learn stuff. I get it's the same material, but we always learn something new every time, and it's always really good. Thinking about praying together, how does that look like in your marriage? Because it's different for everybody in mm-hmm. different marriages, but how does it look like in your marriage? Do you find it easy to pray together? Is it work like that? Or
no, I would say Valerie finds it easier to pray together than I do. And I would say that that's a common theme here. Valerie would usually only the one that would instigate that. I'm quite happy to pray independently. When we do pray together, I would say that I definitely feel that there's strength and there's power in that prayer. But I wouldn't say that it's something that we do. We certainly don't do it all the time. We would tend to pray independently. And then if there was something that we were both really struggling with, we would maybe pray together about it. But if I'm answering honestly, it would usually be Valerie that instigates that. Would you agree?
Yeah, a wee bit.
That's been the common answer throughout every week here in MySpace, almost, so it's...
I think that obviously we say grace with our wee boys, and we try and say prayers at night. We're like, get to sleep. But what was I going to say? The prayer side of things is tough because, again, you're in such a time in your life where things are so manically busy. Whether you have kids or whatever's going on in life with work and the demands of work and everything as well. But yeah, prayer could be improved together, definitely. I don't think you can maybe not have enough prayer together.
No, I don't think you can reach that.
And I think that there's definitely power in that, yeah. Obviously. So yeah, but yes.
And if you could go back to that young couple on the steps of the Royal Concert Hall, although Valerie, I don't think you've changed a bit. You have a wee bit, Colin, but Valerie,
I'll pay you later.
Well, if you were there and you know you saw that proposal and you could have pulled them aside, what words of advice would you give them?
I would say one of the biggest things is not to fight over families. If I'm being really honest, is not to waste time falling out with each other over sometimes uncontrollable of other people and the influences that they can be in your marriage. And apart from that, and I would just say,
I don't think we've got any, we don't have any kind of massive, as far as I'm aware, any massive regrets about the way that our marriage life has turned out. So I don't know that I'd say that, oh, avoid this or avoid that type thing. Because I think
just
that,
be like, Valerie, get home for work and make the dinner.
I want my dinner. But I think I'd just say, enjoy your life. And we have done that. Like, enjoy your life together, grow together, and build your family.
I would say to be more patient with our younger selves. If I could go back to the 21-year-old Valerie when we first met, and then the 26-year-old that got married and then became a mum at 29, I would definitely go back to each office and tell us to be kinder to ourselves. Because I think that that's it's a big pressure that you put on to always, as Christians as well, just be together, and it's hard not to walk into church and you're like this in the car. And then you walk in church, you're like, oh, morning!
Shiny,
hi.
Happy people.
So it's like, I would probably say to not have let maybe the outside world and influences and things like that and online social media to make you so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Probably. And just to, I don't know.
Enjoy life.
Well, we do enjoy life.
We do,
but I'm just saying, like, I'd probably be a wee bit...
I don't know that we've massively let social media impact our lives either, if I'm honest with you.
But I would say for women, I do think sometimes women will look at other women and be like, oh, how's she got that so together and I've not got that together? Or not really envious, but just kind of like, it then comes down on that wife or mother to be a bit like, how am I not able to cope with that? So I would probably say just to be a bit kinder to myself when we were younger. But apart from that, I wouldn't really change much, to be honest with you. Maybe just pray more, which is what we've said. That's definitely something that we could go back and do better.
Very good. Some good advice in there. So it's really clear and strong that faith is really central to your marriage and it's really held it together throughout the whole time. What kind of advice would you give to another couple who are maybe struggling to keep their faith strong within their marriage, and they're kind of seeing like life is so busy that they then start to put church and things like that to the side because life is busy and it starts to, all that kind of stuff. What kind of advice would you give to that couple?
I think it's a thing that I say to myself when you're maybe finding stuff tough. When did you last read your Bible? And when did you last pray?
Basics. Think as well for, I think you, as an individual, you get yourself there before you start working as a couple properly. I mean, you can share your kind of struggles with each other, but I think you as an individual, if you're struggling personally in your faith, Your spouse's role there is to try and help you with that, but it's not their role to fix it for you, mm-hmm. actually. It's your responsibility to take charge of that for yourself. So I would say, like you, but I would agree with that, absolutely go back to basics of what is your relationship like with Jesus? When was the last time you prayed? When was the last time you cracked open the Bible? When was the last time you actually sat and listened in church and kind of drowned out the distractions?
See, I'm a wee bit different because I do get what you're saying, Colin, but I also do think that when your other half, because you're one, when your other half is down or not coping or got big stresses of work and it's showing and it's having a strain on you as a family, there is a massive way for you to pick them up.
Because
sometimes you're not able to pick yourself up, and you do need people, and that's why God's given us relationships, and that's why God's given us each other. And there's been times where I've picked Colin up and he's picked me up, because you need that sometimes in life, and it's hard for us, I think, in this day and age to admit that.
I completely agree with that you're there as a support for each other, but I don't think they should bring that blame into the marriage if your relationship's not there. Mm-hmm. That's the point I was trying to make. Mm-hmm. Just so we're clear.
But just as we're coming near the end and time has flown past, it's been great. If you could design a perfect date, you know, the babysitting's sorted, you know, budget's quite healthy, what would be your perfect date night together?
Well, I think I'll answer that because I'm the one that does the dates, to be honest with you, and arranges the date nights.
No, I think you should answer, then Colin should answer, just to see.
Oh, we'll get an idea. Right, okay.
Better not steal my idea, though. I'll go first then. So I actually think we did a similar thing to this before. We've actually done, maybe not quite a perfect date, but we've done something that's quite like this. We quite enjoy things like Disneyland and stuff like that. So I think if travel and stuff like that was not, and money was no option, a wee trip to Disneyland, just Valerie and I having a fun day there, a nice meal, we would both really like that. And we did that for our wedding anniversary 1 year.
And I felt guilty because we didn't have the kids. I think my idea of a perfect first date is ridiculous because I'm a big romantic. And I watch all these films, like The Notebook and all that, and think that, what you call it, that's how love should be, and all this. So it would be probably a nice holiday, or like what you were saying, like a wee overnight or something like that away. I don't know about Disney, but something, a nice overnight away, and somewhere jacuzzi. Because I love a jacuzzi and want one for the back garden, and just a nice meal, and that's that.
We're quite easy please. We don't need to be doing massively lavish things, but I think the most perfect, here comes your mushy bit. I think the thing that makes a date perfect is who you're with, actually. And if you're there with the right person, you can go anywhere. You can go to Frankie and Benny's at Coat Bridge and have a perfect date. So I would say something like that.
So, last question for each of you. If you could sum up what marriage means to you in a sentence, how would you do that?
Marriage means to me having God at the centre and walking through each season with your best friends, and even though you might look different as time goes on, you've adjusted with one another and you're more in love with that person.
I would say similar. I'd say it's, for marriage, looks to be is about building a faith-centered, Jesus-focused life with somebody, with a view as to the end goal, which is heaven. Mm-hmm. That's what it is for me.
Very good. So just as we finish off, and Elizabeth's going to pray for you guys, is there anything you would like us to pray for? Anything you'd like people in church to pray for? Is any stuff happening in your life just now that you would appreciate prayer? Then we'd love to pray for you.
So I would ask you all please to remember us and people in similar, some of you have all been through it, so you know what it's like, the demands of raising a family and the responsibility of starting your kids off in the right path and trusting that they'll stay to that path. And that's Colin and I's biggest prayer, mm-hmm. is that our boys will choose God over the world and will stay on that path and will go on to have a happy life like we've been blessed to have, even with the challenges along the way, to pray for young families like ourselves, because as much as it is happy and you do have a good marriage, there are bad times that come along and there's challenges that come along with that, and children can be difficult at times and put strain. So please pray for, obviously, people our age who are trying to bring their kids up and trying to do our best with what we know, because as Colin said, we're doing it ourselves for the first time, same our parents did the first time. So I'd ask for prayer for that. I'd also ask for prayer for, personally, for my family, because my uncle's not very well. So I would ask for prayer for that as well, when I know the church has been very faithful in praying for that. So thank you very much to all of you. My uncle's not very well with cancer. And he's not a follower. He fell away. And so if you can pray about that, that would be good. And also something that's quite private, just pray for our family situation, because there's something going on there that's quite tough for us just now.
Okay, I was just going to pray.
Lord God and Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Colin and Valerie. We thank you just for their willingness to share tonight, Lord, for their vulnerability, for their honesty, Lord. And we know that that has, I'm sure, been an encouragement to others. I know it's certainly been an encouragement to me. And we just thank you for them. And we ask you to bless you, ask you to bless them, Lord. And Father, as they're raising a family, Lord, you just heard Valerie's heart and Colin's heart, Lord, that their boys will come to know you personally, Lord, that they will walk the right path, Lord. And we know that you have great plans for both of them, Lord. And Father, we just ask that they will grow to be mighty men of God, Lord, that they will follow your path. They will come to know you as their personal Lord and Saviour, Lord. And Father, we just pray as a church family, Lord, that we can help them raise a family. You know, we know that it takes a village, Lord, and we're thankful that we are here in a church family, Lord, where we can do life together. And we know that they are not the only family in this church, Lord, and we pray for all our families who are raising children at different stages, Lord. And we know that it can be a challenge, and we know that there are different temptations and distractions in the world for all our children, Lord. But Father, we just pray that we together can raise the next generation, Lord, the next generation who will be discipled towards you, Lord. And Father, I just pray for Valerie's uncle. I pray that as he's not well at the moment and isn't in a personal relationship with you, that you will intercede into that situation, Lord, as only you know how. Father, just guide the family as to how to navigate that situation. I pray that you'll give them peace, you'll give them courage, you'll give them strength, and that, you know, that you will have your will in that situation. And Lord, you know the ins and outs of everything, Lord. And Father, the personal situations that's happening within the family, that you will be part of that too, and that whatever needs to be dealt with, that you will deal with that, Lord, that you will intercede, Lord, and you will have your way, Lord. And I just pray blessings over this lovely couple who are such a blessing to us at Found Church too, Lord, and just ask you to be with them, to comfort them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, and just to the path that you've laid ahead for them, Lord, that you will equip them on the way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.